Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey, as you know, a Democrat who has been accused of bribery. And I recorded a special podcast a couple of days ago about how he had gold bars that were apparently, at least the accusation is, that he received these gold bars in exchange for political favors, influencing U.S. foreign policy to favor Egypt in particular, and also to help out some of his friends that were facing felony charges by the DOJ and so on. So the accusation, again, he's innocent until proven guilty. Let's keep that in mind. But the accusation is that he was paid with these gold bars and then all this cash. It turns out to be $480,000 in cash. And what is amazing about this is that Bob Menendez, he's becoming a libertarian in his philosophy of self-custody of his own money. This is pure genius, actually. Yes, Menendez is becoming a privacy and self-custody genius. Yes, so anyway, I did a podcast saying that, hey, at least he understands the value of gold. I mean, he's getting paid in gold bars, right? That's going to hold value a lot better than fiat currency and the collapsing dollar. I mean, Menendez is smarter than all the other senators that are getting paid in dollars. Dollars are worthless. So Menendez is like, give me gold, baby. Gold's going to hold value. And then now about the cash. This is what I got to talk about today. So $480,000 in cash was discovered apparently in his residence. And Senator Menendez comes out today and he gives a press conference where he proclaims his innocence. And again, let's remember, he's innocent until proven guilty. And he says that all the cash and the gold that were found in his home were drawn from his own savings account, and that he kept this cash and gold in his home, quote, due to a history of property confiscations in Cuba. All right, so here's the exact quote. For 30 years, I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my savings account, which I have kept for contingencies, and because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba, these were monies drawn from my personal savings. So, what is Senator Menendez saying? Well, number one, he never lived in Cuba. He's not living in Cuba. He's a United States senator living in the United States of America. What he is saying to America, screaming out, like you can't miss this. Senator Menendez is saying that he believes the United States government is going to confiscate money from American senators and from American citizens. I mean, Senator Menendez, he's gone full libertarian on this. He's like, I'm going to need my own self-custody because I don't trust the government. Yes, a Democrat senator says he doesn't trust the government of the United States to not steal his money out of a bank. That's what he just said. So if anybody ever gives you crap about self-custody, or why are you buying gold? You know, your answer, well, that's what United States senators are doing. Senators don't even trust the government. And they run it. I mean, think about how insane this is, right? Or hilarious. Even ironic, I suppose. But here's something else. I would like to introduce Senator Menendez to Monero. Because Monero is, of course, privacy crypto. And if he had Monero instead of wads of cash and bars of gold. And by the way, I'm not condoning, obviously, anything illegal that he might have done. If he took bribes, he should be prosecuted, right? But I'm talking about many cases where people are just accused of crimes just for having money, just for having cash, just for having gold. And all those people, if they knew about Monero, you know, Monero's privacy crypto, and there are other privacy crypto coins that I've talked about and interviewed the founders of them before, you know, like Beam and others. But no one knows how much you have in your wallet. No one can see your wallet. No one can find your wallet. Your money is private. Unlike Bitcoin, which has its own advantages, of course, but Bitcoin is a transparent blockchain and anybody can know what your total balance is, and they know how you spent your Bitcoin and who you received it from. But with Monero, it's not that way at all. Monero is privacy crypto. Everything is hidden. The blockchain doesn't reveal how much you have or what you've done with it. So, you know, if Senator Menendez, again, I'm not condoning any illegal behavior on his part, but he's already pretty smart, it seems, about self-custody. He's like, I have the cash in my own home, don't trust the government, and I have the gold in my own home. I don't trust, you know, the banks or anybody else out there. He doesn't trust the Treasury. You know, he didn't have Treasury bills. He had cash and gold, right? But if he were more technically oriented, he would have had Monero. And also, again, even though I do not condone any illegal activity, obviously, but if he were really smart about receiving bribes in an untraceable form of assets, he would have asked to receive bribes in Monero. And Monero is used for illegal activity, although, of course, that's not the way I use it, and that's not, I don't condone any such use. But I do understand, like Senator Menendez understands, that governments will confiscate your money. I mean, he talks about the history of Cuba. What about the history of the world? The history of the world is filled with examples of governments confiscating people's private bank accounts and bail-ins, and also, of course, devaluation of the currency and, you know, gold confiscations, even in the history of the United States, or outlawing gold in private ownership. This is the history of the world. And that's why things like Monero are very important to protect liberty of individuals who honestly earned money, you know, they just want to protect it from confiscation, or they want privacy, because it's not the government's business what you're doing with your money, as long as you're not carrying out bribes and fraud and, you know, committing felony crimes and so on. But if you just want to have your money that's private and you just want to sit on it for a rainy day, you know, for quote contingencies, it's nobody's business how much you have, as long as you, you know, acquired those funds through normal legal means. Now, also Senator Menendez, regardless of what you think of him, regardless of whether you think he's guilty or innocent, I think most people probably think he's guilty because, well, he's a U.S. senator and he's a Democrat. I mean, come on. How many honest Democrat senators are there who don't take bribes? That number is probably fewer than five, you know? Maybe zero. I'm not sure. I mean, I know on the Republican side, we have Rand Paul. He's not corrupt. And perhaps a few others. But on the Democrat side, most people realize they're mostly all corrupt. But even Senator Menendez understands the value of self-custody because he knows that the banks cannot be trusted. Now, remember that Senator Menendez, until just recently, he served as the chairperson of the Foreign Relations Committee of the United States Senate, which means that Senator Menendez had inside information about other nations and what they are doing, BRICS nations, for example, what they are doing with their currencies, and what the dollar is doing on the world stage. Now, he has just resigned from that committee temporarily as he fights these charges. And again, he assures us that he is innocent and he's going to be vindicated in all of this. I guess we'll wait and see. But what does he know about foreign relations and other nations and BRICS nations and so on that causes his own decisions to favor self-custody of cash and gold? There's a question for you, because there's no doubt in my mind that Senator Menendez, again, regardless of what you think of his criminality or innocence, he knows that the dollar is doomed. He knows that the banks are going to fail. He knows they're going to be bail-ins. He knows the governments are going to confiscate people's money. And he also knows that gold is going to outlast everything else as the dollar collapses and fiat currencies collapse around the world. Again, Senator Menendez, he may be a crook, but he's not an idiot. He is taking steps to protect his assets and his wealth by getting out of the banking system. He is deplatforming himself, or as I say, going into off-grid money. And by the way, it's possible that Senator Menendez has Monero, and he might have been paid all kinds of bribes in Monero, or maybe even Bitcoin in a standalone wallet that's never been used before. He might have crypto on the side that we don't know about, and that we'll never know about because it might be privacy crypto, right? Because, again, clearly Menendez is not an idiot. He may be corrupt, but he's not stupid. So he's taking self-custody. Now, keep in mind that U.S. senators are also getting satellite phones. And, you know, I've talked about satellite phones quite a lot just because, you know, backup communication system when the cell towers go down, you know, when there's a grid down scenario or a terrorist attack or a false flag or whatever the case may be. Why are U.S. senators, about 50 of them, using satellite phones now? Why? Because they know what's coming. They know. And they know that the reliable solution for comms is going to be satellite phones. Well, they also know that the reliable solution for assets is going to be gold and cash, at least for some period of time until the dollar completely collapses. And then it's gold and silver. I'm willing to bet you that nearly every United States senator has gold. I bet it's close to 100%. Now, maybe not so much in the House, because a lot of those representatives in the House, they're broke. Some of them don't have any money at all. But in the Senate, they start to collect money, often because of corruption and insider trading. I mean, do I have to even explain that? No. They get a lot of insider information, and they trade on that, and they become very wealthy. And then some people in the House also get wealthy over time, like the Pelosi family. What an amazing coincidence. But in the Senate, these people start to get wealth, and of course they put some of that into gold. Why? Because they know where this story goes. They know how this ends. They see the collapse of the dollar accelerating, and they want to have family wealth that outlasts the collapse of the system. Now, they can't say this publicly, obviously, but this is what they think privately. Now, let me say something actually in defense of the rule of law and due process, because we recently saw an attempt to try to impeach Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas. That impeachment effort was run by a bunch of Bush Rhino Republicans conspiring with Democrats to push out Ken Paxton. And they framed him with false allegations, crazy false allegations, saying that, oh, he accepted, you know, bribery and kickbacks in the form of free work to redo his kitchen cabinets and things like that. And it turns out the kitchen cabinets were still 10 years old. There was no work done in his kitchen cabinets. It was all just lie after lie after lie, kind of like the way the system tried to take down Trump. So it's the Bush dynasty and, of course, Karl Rove, you know, the architect as he's known. Karl Rove was behind all of this to try to take down Ken Paxton. Well, Ken Paxton was innocent. And he built up his defense over what, 3 months or whatever it was, or 4 months. And then there was a trial in the Texas Senate. And he was exonerated on all 16 charges because they were BS, complete BS. So let us not rush to judgment, by the way, just because Senator Menendez is accused of these things. In fact, Menendez says, quote, "To those who have rushed to judgment, you have done so based on a limited set of facts framed by the prosecutors in the most salacious way possible." Yeah, he's probably right about that. He continues, quote, "The court of public opinion is no substitute for our justice system. I will not only be totally exonerated, but also New Jersey's senior senator." Okay, so he may be absolutely correct about that. He might be completely innocent, because here's a question. For those of you who are skeptical of what I'm saying, hear me out. Why isn't Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, why aren't they being criminally prosecuted? Or Hillary Clinton and the Haiti fundraising scam. Now she's got her fingers in Ukrainian fundraising. Why aren't the Clintons ever prosecuted, or the Obamas, or the Bidens, or any number of other high-level crooks and criminals in the Democrat Party? Answer, of course you know the answer, because it's all about selective prosecution. They've gone after Senator Menendez for some reason that we don't yet know. Some reason, maybe the senator didn't go along with something that they wanted, right? He didn't vote the way they wanted, or he didn't participate in some crooked thing that they wanted, and so they went after him. They don't prosecute criminals in the Democrat Party unless they're trying to leverage somebody, and then they'll selectively prosecute. So you really can't trust on its surface any prosecution of a senator or an attorney general or a governor or a president, for that matter, whether it's Trump or Biden. You can't trust any prosecution just on its face. You have to look at the politics of it. The Democrats are almost never prosecuted. So why are they prosecuting Menendez? Well, he angered somebody else that wants him out, or they just want his seat. Who else is waiting in line in New Jersey to be a senator who's probably more of a globalist, more of a depopulation pusher, more of a Pfizer shill or something? There's your question. Why do they want this seat vacated? Who do they have standing in line in New Jersey to be the next senator who's far worse than Menendez? That's what this is about. And by the way, according to Daily Caller, reporting on information that the prosecutors or the indictment contain, it says that one of the envelopes in which money was discovered, you know, cash, quote, had DNA matching a co-defendant of Menendez, a guy named Fred Diabes, who allegedly acted as a conduit for bribes with Egyptian money. Okay, so that's the allegation. Well, first of all, you know how this DNA matching is done? PCR. And DNA matching via PCR is a total fraud. And we learned that during COVID, when they were diagnosing people with COVID using swabs and, you know, protein sequencing analysis using PCR equipment. And it's all a lie. It's all a fraud. And the whole history of so-called, you know, evidence linking people to crimes, it's so dishonest. It's such a fraud. You have no idea how much fraud there is in that system. For example, the FBI used to testify against people, especially black people, using hair sample matching. They would say, well, look at this hair. This hair was found at the scene, and this hair matches this perp's hair. You know, the accused, their hair is very similar to this hair. Like, what? It's just black people hair. I mean, it's a type of hair that all kinds of people have the same hair. And the FBI would be like, no, this hair matches. It's got the texture. It's got the color. It's got the diameter. Hey, turns out, folks, guess what? Hair analysis was total junk science, all made up BS that the FBI used for decades to convict a lot of innocent people, many of whom were black people, by the way. I mean, you've heard of the crime driving while black? I mean, the FBI prosecuted the crime of having black hair, actually, for decades, just having black hair, which is, it tends to have a certain coarseness to it. And they claim, well, that's a match. Total nonsense. Same thing with drug testing. I can't even tell you because, you know, I have a laboratory. I have a food science lab, multiple mass spec instruments, you know, ISO accredited, inspected, audited, certified, all this stuff. And you know, it's a multi-million dollar laboratory, as you know, if you follow my work. And we have to pass all kinds of tests for what's called proficiency testing or PT to do blind tests on, you know, cannabinoid quantitation analysis and heavy metals analysis and glyphosate analysis and all kinds of stuff. So I'm in the lab industry and I know people in the lab industry, and I hear stories and I follow some of the news. In Austin, Texas, a few years back, there was a police lab that was shut down by order of a court because the police lab had spent years faking positive matches for cocaine. And you could hand this lab any bag of white powder. It could be baking soda, you know, it could be salt, baby powder, whatever. You hand little baggie and you say, hey, like if you're a cop, like you're a cop trying to prosecute typically like a black guy, a alleged drug dealer on the streets. And you take this baggie into the lab and you say, wink, wink, we wonder if this is cocaine. And then the lab holds onto that bag for a couple of weeks. And then they do no testing whatsoever. This is what came out. No testing. And then they produce a report that says, oh, it's positive. It matches cocaine. Well, the lab was certified by the state of Texas. And it was used by the police, you know, for many, many years. And so, of course, the court judge, in most cases, would recognize this, quote, positive test result as, you know, forensic evidence. Oh, well, gosh, look, that's cocaine. It's a bag of cocaine. And look, it's a hair match, according to the FBI. Also, the hair matches. It's your hair and it's your bag of cocaine. You're guilty. Turns out, all fiction. All completely made up BS. There was another big lab in Boston that was shut down a few years back, too, because a lab tech there was just making it all up. It was another forensic lab. There are forensic labs all across this country that do no actual science. All they do is they fake a bunch of results and they get paid. And by the way, if you're a criminal defense attorney listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. How many cases have you had where the lab results don't stand up to any scrutiny? I mean, I could cross-examine lab techs in these court cases and rip them to shreds. Like, where's your calibration curve? Where's the traceability of your calibration standards? Right? Show me the instrument properties at the time of the run. Show me the log file for that run. Did you keep the sample after you ran it? Where's the sample? Because under ISO accreditation, you have to keep the sample around for multiple years after you run the sample. And we do. We have a massive storage facility. We keep samples of every food item that we test. And we do thousands of tests a year. So we have this massive storage area of all the samples. We can go back to any sample and pull it and have another lab rerun it to confirm our original results. And we have all the log files and everything, all the calibration curves, all the instrument properties, you know, the flow rates, everything. Most labs don't have any of that because they're making it all up. I'm talking about the forensic labs. They don't have any log files, any test results that can stand up in court. So when I hear, again, I'm not saying that Menendez is innocent, but let's presume he's innocent until he's proven guilty. When they say, oh, there's a DNA match of this other guy on this envelope that contains money. Yeah, bull crap. It's all made up, folks. It's all made up. There's no DNA match of his friend. If anything, they might be able to say, oh, yeah, here's a protein sequence that's human. Kind of like the hair matches every black person in America. Oh, look, this DNA matches every human. Oh, really? So you found human DNA on an envelope? Big whoop. Were you gonna convict a guy on that? It's insane. But the bottom line of what I wanted to say here is that Senator Menendez does not trust the U.S. government, even though he helps run it. He does not trust the banks. He does not trust the currency because he was holding gold and cash out of the bank in his own home safe. And by the way, I'm wondering, did he have any guns in there? Because if you're going to store that stuff yourself, if you're going to have self-custody, which is a very important principle, if you're going to have self-custody, you need to have self-armament, in my opinion. Now, granted, he's a senator in New Jersey. I don't know what the gun laws are in New Jersey, and I'm not, of course, encouraging you to violate whatever local laws are, but I'm pretty sure you can have a firearm in your home, but check yourself. Check your own local laws. I live in Texas. We have lots of firearms all over the place, over Texas, and you know, everybody that I know has got firearms. So self-custody is backed up with, you know, the threat of self-defense. If somebody comes in to somebody's house in Texas and is like, you know, give me all your gold bars and all your cash, like, how about we start with lead and see if you can dodge bullets? And then, as you're running, if you can dodge the initial 9mm bullets, we've got rifles, and we can see if you can dodge long-range bullets. So, you know, or maybe you decide not to shoot them once they leave your house. I don't know. That's up to you. But as I've said before, I live so far out of the way, out in the country, if somebody shows up at my front door, I don't have to ask, are you lost? There's no need. You're here on purpose. And there's going to be a price to be paid for that if you're a thief, let me tell you. Anyway, I just want to thank Senator Menendez. I can't believe I'm even saying those words, but hey, we have to thank him for pointing out some things that no other senator is willing to point out. That even United States senators don't trust our own government. They don't trust the banking system. They believe in self-custody, and they believe in privacy expressions of systems of value, which includes gold bars. Now, just again, as a final disclaimer, I do not condone any illegal activity, obviously, or bribery or fraud or kickbacks, and perhaps Senator Menendez is guilty. Perhaps he's innocent. We have to presume he's innocent until we know otherwise. In the meantime, you can use the same techniques that he was using legally and lawfully to protect the privacy of your own assets, even when you aren't accepting bribes from Egypt or wherever, because probably Egypt isn't willing to pay you any money because you don't have influence over, you know, foreign relations committees. So you and I, since we don't have those special powers over the planet, you know, no one's going to hand us a bunch of gold bars. We have to earn it the hard way, right? We have to work for it and then put our savings into it on purpose. So for those of you who want to do that, consider our sponsor in that space, Treasure Island, the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. Very competitive. Metalswithmike.com is how you find them. Check their prices in real time and understand I don't get paid an affiliate percentage whatsoever. They just have a flat sponsorship fee, so I plug them in from time to time where it's appropriate because this helps people get gold and silver without getting ripped off. There are a bunch of bait and switch operations out there that I don't trust. There are some other honest operators that are good, but the one that I know that I've used that I've trusted for years is Treasure Island. So that's metalswithmike.com. Or you can call Egypt and see if they'll give you gold bars, but it's highly unlikely. But thanks for listening, and I hope you found this entertaining and educational. Mike Adams here from naturalnews.com.